Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One,
Spotify,
and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast. Time for the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast.
Hey, what's up? I'd like to welcome back everyone, if this is not their first time, and welcome in everyone, if this is your first time. This is what I will call an MIP special. Let me tell you why. The NBA right now has been great. This playoff, from the play-in and to these first rounds of playoffs and all of these new dudes out here, these young dudes playing in the playoffs for the first time and going off. Oh, my God, it's been incredible. And that deserves something all by itself. But the biggest story in the NFL this offseason, and we are NFL-centric. I mean, you know, I play basketball, but my trophies are in the NFL. My Hall of Fame is the NFL. The biggest story has been the quarterback situation in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers in the relationship with the Green Bay Packers. And I'm going to tell you something, man. As great as the NBA is right now, I couldn't just turn straight to the NBA when I saw Aaron Rodgers speaking for the first time with all of this out here. So I wanted to dive into this for a number of reasons and give you an MIP special, the Green Bay Packers, and talk about the relationships and what's going on, the state of the Green Bay Packers. And I couldn't think of anyone that would come on, be honest, give me the truth, allow me to dive into some things like Greg Jennings will. So I will sit down and have a conversation with Greg Jennings about the state of the Green Bay Packers. Now, tomorrow, I should feed you the MIP report, and we will talk some NBA with my best friend, and he's an NBA Hall of Famer, from the Golden State Warriors, Mitch Richmond. Yes, my best friend, an NBA Hall of Famer. We grew up together, hung out together, ran around together, played together, dreamed together, and we all both ended up in our respective sports Hall of Fame. You know, you want to hear those stories. You just want to hear those stories, and we will talk NBA, and we will give you that tomorrow. But let's get back to this Green Bay Packer MIP special and talk about what we saw when we saw Aaron Rodgers on that Sports Center with Kenny Mayne. And I want to start with that. Because, you know, I love this game, and I've been around for a long time. You know, most people come in this game and they get the average lifespan around the NFL is maybe three and a half years. I've been working for the NFL for over 30. I know, makes me want to laugh too to think I got 30 years in working with the NFL. It's almost insane to think it. But in all those years, man, whenever I talked about another player, we were always talking professionally, especially when I went into broadcasting. You know, I'm talking professionally. It's always professional. What I see on the field, how they can be better, how they can help their team get better, how they can lead better, what we need to do, the connectivity. Offense need to check with defense. I don't see these guys talking when one leave the field, other one's coming on the field. They have to have connectivity. It's always easy to talk professionally because that's what I do. That's what I am. But this Aaron Rodgers thing, we were trying to determine the viability and the possibility of them mending the relationship That's what this has been about. That's what every show has been about. Every sports station talking about, well, what do they have to do to mend the relationship? And in discussing this, I did something that I never do. I gave you, and I told you guys, I gave you some from my private stash. But my private stash is a personal thing. And I said, okay, I'm going to give it for my private stash. Whenever a man falls out or have a bad day or don't make up with his mother, me personally, this is me personally, I tend to shy away from building any type of relationship with that person, professionally or personally, whenever they tend to be able to say, all right, I'm not talking to my mom anymore or anything like that. Cause I just think the world of mothers, and I said it before, just that your mother had to figure out your needs from grunts and cries and tears. So now that I can talk, there's no way I won't talk to her no matter what has happened, you know? And that's a personal thing. So when I saw Aaron Rodgers go on the Sports Center, that's what he was talking about. He was talking about that culture of the Green Bay Packers. It's about the people. It's about the people. And he thanked everybody. He said he's loved every moment of being in Green Bay. And he thanked all the people. I mean, the guy that cleans the locker room, the guy that picks up the socks, every player, all the trainers, all the people that serve food, wash towels, clean up the jocks. He thanked. He said those relationships mean the world to him. Didn't say anything about that front office. Didn't say anything about that front office. So I said, who can I get on that we can have a great conversation about? Because we could discuss the viability of them making up, of them kissing and making up. And I think Greg Jennings was the perfect guy for this situation. He'll give me honesty. He'll give me honesty. And he gave me honesty, and he was brutally honest about everything. Not just Aaron Rodgers, but even where he himself may have fallen short. And I tell you, man, it was interesting to sit and chat with him about it. You know, relationships are, especially in this game, because I tell you guys, there's no such thing as individual isolated success. You know, and since we all have to work together to have success, whenever you can take a football team's relationship to the next level, that means it goes from being, oh, we're football teammates to, hey, that's my boy. Like Troy's my boy. I mean, it's one thing. He wasn't just my quarterback. That's my boy. Like, I don't ever want him hurt. I don't ever want him to go through anything because I love him like that. That's my boy. So I can play hard for him because that's my boy. We boys. And I know my boy, I know he hates interceptions. I know he hates interceptions. So I'm telling you right now, it's not my football and my teammate thing that will make me rip your damn head off if you're trying to intercept that pass. It's because my boy doesn't like him. I'm going to play extra hard because this is my boy. It's not just my quarterback. It's not just my teammate. It's one of my great friends. And those emotions, I want to pull up. I want that relationship to be strong when I'm on the football field. You know, it's so funny. I remember telling Eric Williams when he first got in, that's how you win at life. Eric Williams asked me the first day he got in the Dallas Cowboys training camp. He said, hey, man, he said, I got to make this team, man. I got to make this team. He said, man, I said, why? I said, why is it so important? He says, man, my mom has been the greatest, man. I love her, man. We got a great relationship. He said, I got to take care of her, man. She's been taking care of everybody. I have to take care of her. It's my time. I said, big fella, you got to use that. I mean, every time you line up in a three-point stance on that football field, you look across that field, and the dude that you got to block, you look right at him and say, you trying to stop me from feeding my mother. Then you say hut. and you will whoop his ass. You just bring all this up every time. Every time it's a true story, I said, big fella, you bring it up every time. Every day you step on that field, this is what you use. You use the strength of that relationship to stomp him out. And big fella, I tell you right now, if I ever start a football team, you give me one player, and you say you can start a football team with one player, it will be Eric Williams. Because he used that like I don't know what, and he stomped people out. Relationships are so important. That's why I wanted to dive into this. And Greg Jennings, I think, does a great job of giving us a peek behind the curtains. I got to say this before I get you to that Greg Jennings interview. I really did appreciate Aaron Rodgers doing that interview for Kenny Mayne. You know, and that's what made me come back. I said, okay, man, let me dive a little deeper. I gave you that special recipe about the mother, but then I saw him capitulate and turn around when he's being quiet to step up and do that for Kenny Mayne. So obviously him and Kenny Mayne has a great relationship, and I appreciate seeing him do that. You will enjoy the conversation about the Green Bay Packers and the relationships in Green Bay. Greg Jennings is next. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. Joining the MIP, this man is, get this, I'll make sure I get this right now, from Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying, before I give you this man's name, I'm just going to say, and he'll answer this after I get this introduction out. I didn't know brothers were in Kalamazoo, Michigan. I didn't know they had brothers in Kalamazoo, Michigan, but this brother is definitely a bad brother, so I'll take that. They must have him in Kalamazoo, Michigan. He went to Western Michigan in college, and this man, get this, 905, he was the MAC Officer Player of the Year and the MAC Co-MVP. Bad man, drafted round two of the 2006 draft, pick number 52 to the Green Bay Packers. Joining me right now, he's a Pro Bowler, and he's a Super Bowl champ, wide receiver, former wide receiver, I should say, now broadcaster for Fox, Greg Jennings. Greg, what's up, my brother?
What's up, man? I need to bring you with me on the road. I mean, is that the type of intro you give everybody? That made me feel like I was going to put the helmet on and run through the tunnel again.
Hey, Greg, now listen, speaking of that now, that's the one thing, Greg, and I know we both get a chance to do TV and be around the game, but how much do you miss that? You see how that's the first thing that came out your mouth when you got hyped? I want to put it, man, I can tell you something. Man, I miss that more than anything in the world. Let me put on the helmet and run out this tunnel. 52 dudes saying we're about to impose our will on you. Ain't nothing like that in the world, but how much do you miss that?
It's nothing like it. If I'm being honest, like I don't miss it a whole lot. When I see the practices and I see the guys putting on those cleats and I think about my feet and I think about my body, I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm where I need to be. But no, that thrill, that moment, that high of competition and that drive, it's hard to match that anywhere else in life. It just really is. When you've played at the highest level against the best talent that this world can provide on the same field, and you thrive and you win and you can call yourself a three-time Super Bowl champ. I can call myself a Super Bowl. Like, that's accomplishing something special. And that's a elite group of guys. And I love it. I'm able to recall and remind myself of what we all say, the good days, but we got a lot more good days ahead of us too.
Yeah, thank God for that, especially you and I, because like we said, we're still around the game. But Greg, when we talk about, okay, leaving the game, leaving that moment, walking out on the field, taking off that helmet, playing with those guys. And of course, you know, time comes and we get older and time forces us out the game. But I'm shocked when I hear these guys like, and I'm going to jump right into this, the Russell Wilsons or the Aaron Rodgers and all of these guys saying, hey, you know, I'll retire. Or walk away if I'm not getting what I want. I think that's so, you just going to put the game away? You know, that's a hard thing when you can still play the way these guys are playing. Right now, Aaron Rodgers certainly didn't show up in Green Bay for OTAs, but a lot of people aren't going to those OTAs, so I don't want to make more of that situation. But how do you see what's going on right now in Green Bay?
It's definitely a problem. It's a problem, and it's a problem because this is not the norm. Anytime somebody goes outside of what's normal, of what you typically see them do, you have to start to draw some concerns, and there are some real concerns to be drawn. And Aaron Rodgers, this is outside of the norm. He does not really miss off-season training, OTAs, all these things that we have come to know, and I was a part of, and we all know the importance of it now. A lot of us have always been tied to it because of monies that we had deferred to it. And so it was like, okay, I'm going to go because of that and because of the X's and O's and parts of it like that.
My teammates.
Yeah, right, absolutely. Right. You build that camaraderie, that chemistry right. And all of that. But the Green Bay Packers have to really look at this situation and assess it the right way and stop listening to talking heads like us in the media out there and listen to that guy that they really want under center if they want to be a contender, because what he's asking for, none of us know in totality, but it's obviously something that he feels like he hasn't been getting and receiving and that they're unwilling to do in this present day and moment. So you see what you see. We see him in Hawaii. We see the team getting ready for a 2022 season with off-season program, and he's enjoying life.
Greg, when you saw Aaron's interview the other day with Kenny Mayne, when you saw the interview, what were your thoughts? What did you think of that interview?
A couple takeaways. Aaron Rodgers, he's a relationships guy. Like he's all about trust. And so once that is broken with Aaron Rodgers, it's hard for him to come back. And so that's what I heard most. Like, it's about relationships. And when you heard him talking about the culture and the people make up the culture, and don't forget that he's talking about the players, the guys who actually allow this operation to be what it is. And so for him specifically, dialing in on him being the most valuable player in our league and a team that he's on, we clearly know him to be and have been for years the most valuable player and piece to the puzzle and the success of the Green Bay Packers. And you don't really account for what I'm trying to share outside of what we do within the lines of the football field, the gridiron. I'm trying to implement and give my expertise and what I know we need, and you won't at least consider and entertain that. That's a problem for an individual like that. And we all know how smart Aaron Rodgers is on the football field. We all know how smart he is off the football field. And I think that's what's starting to wear on someone like Aaron Rodgers. And that's what that was my number one takeaway. He's like, I'm tired of decision makers making decisions that aren't actually in it. Like, you're not in it like I'm in it. And you know, at the end of the day, he's not trying to do it solely for himself. He wants to win. And if he gets what he desires and he needs, ultimately it will benefit the team.
Greg, I can tell you how often I say the same thing, you know, that you just said. And I say it this way. I said, man, we have to stop listening to the people that wear suits and listen to the people that wear uniforms. The dudes upstairs, y'all wearing suits. Y'all are not out here playing this game in these uniforms, because winning is what makes it go. It's another way of saying exactly what you said right there. But I want to break back into something, because, you know, Greg, I watch you, and I watch you all the time. I watch you on air, and of course, preparing to talk to you today, I went back and watched everything. Some of the things that I want to pull out that you said, you just said that Aaron's a relationship guy. I heard you on another show say, trust me. Once that trust is broken, it's hard to repair. You said, trust me, I know personally.
Yes.
What do you mean, trust you, you know personally, when the relationship with Aaron is broken, it's hard to repair? Explain that to me.
Well, when I, you know, my transition from departing Green Bay and going over to the Minnesota Vikings,
right,
and how that all unfolded and what was said out of my mouth and what my sentiments were in that moment. Were they real? Yes, absolutely. But were they necessary? No, they were not. I was frustrated. I was angry. I felt like, man, my guy, can he stick up for me?
Yeah.
And I felt like if there was anyone that could, it would be him. I wanted to be a Green Bay Pack. We all want, you want, like,
and you want the quarterback to fight for you no matter
what.
That's why you go across the middle. I catch this ball, do anything for you, dog. I just want you to fight for me.
Right. Exactly. And so when I felt like that didn't happen, then I handled it in a way that was rash, a little immature at the time. And when I look back on it, again, like I say, what I said, did I feel that? Did I believe that? Yes, wholeheartedly. But was it necessary? No. And now I'm living that out to where I had an unbelievable relationship with them. Unbelievable. One of the very few. I'm not a person that lets a lot of people in my inner circle bring into my home. He was one of those few. And so we had many of days and many of moments where we were sitting at the dinner table over holidays or what have you. And he's with my kids and, you know, my family. And I don't have that relationship any longer. And so when you talk about trust, I did something that hurt him in ways that I never knew would really penetrate. And so that's what the Green Bay Packers have done. They've scarred him in a way to where it's penetrated, and it's almost like there's no turning back. There's just no turning back. Now, I'm not saying that he won't put on that uniform that has the G on that helmet. I'm not saying that. I do believe he will, and there's an opportunity for that to happen. But from my experience, when I said, trust me, I know, it's because of the relationship that I once had that I no longer have, that is constantly in repair. Now, we talk because of broadcasting and because I sit down with them before games and have to pose questions and we'll reminisce, but the relationship is completely different now.
Mm. And you know, it hurts me to hear you say that. It really do. Because I know the bond you want with a quarterback, especially guys you had that kind of success with. You know what I'm
yes.
saying? You know, we want to be able to grow old and be able to tell these stories to our kids together.
You know together.
Exactly.
My oldest is 14. She is a sports head. Like, she loves sports, all sports. And she has a very, very great, like a very good memory and recall. And she remembers a lot of moments, a lot of experiences. And she's like, and they'll look at my phone. They'll be like, Daddy, why don't you call Aaron? Why don't you? And it's like, it's just not, it's, it is easy, but it's not that simple. And so for more than just myself, my kids want to know. They want to hear Aaron. They want to see. They want to talk to Aaron. Daddy knows you play with him, so why don't you talk to him? Or you know what I mean? So it's – and just that's the part. Like, I look at so many relationships between receivers and quarterbacks, specifically Tom Brady. His relationship with it almost – all his receivers, but Julian Edelman and Randy and just his guys now, Mike Evans and Godwin and AB, like, we want that.
Cut for
like,
AB. Cut for AB. Got AB. But the only person could have got AB back in the league.
He was the
back
only
in the league. Right.
The only person, and he put his integrity, he put his name on the line saying, look, this is the guy that I want. He's going to be good. He vouched for him, and he made it work. And you see those types of relationships. And for me, when I see that, and even yourself, Troy, like Larry, Kurt, like, it's like, we won a Super Bowl together.
That hurts me.
Like it pains me at times because I really want to have that sit down off camera. I don't care where. I just want to know we good. I just want to sit down and have that opportunity to hash it out the way that I know men would do. I would do. Forget men.
Have you tried to reach out to him? Have you tried to say, man, listen, I was wrong. I was young. I was hurt. Have you tried that?
I have, Mike. I've tried when I called my first game in Green Bay. I tried over social media, just in DM. I've tried even in person. I ran into him at a Milwaukee Bucks game about 3 years ago, playoff game, and he was there. And I reached over and I tapped him on the shoulder. And that experience, I'm not going to go into, but it was like, I knew by his response, it was like, okay, he has to defend himself right now. And I wasn't coming to attack him. I was just coming to say, what's up, man? And I'm like, I've been texting you. And, you know, I mean, and it's just, I get it. In those moments, and when I reflect even more, being a realist, what I said, regardless if it was true or not, it hurt. Because of our relationship, it hurt. And so when you've hurt somebody, you're on their time clock as far as when they're willing to repair that, if they're willing to repair it. And so that's until God takes my last breath, I'm gonna always continue to try, period, because I know what I did wasn't right. Period. I'm just going to say it wasn't right. And I've apologized to him personally. I've apologized publicly. I've owned it. I have no problem owning it. Doesn't mean, like I said, like I didn't believe it, but I've owned it. And so now I just sit and I wait and I continue to poke. And I shouldn't say poke, but caress the situation at times, but still be critical of play and do my job because that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to just suck up and be like, oh, yeah, everything is great with everybody. No, I'm going to constantly be constructively critical when there's times that I need to be. But I'm also able to give praise because the dude is a bad man. Like, come on now. Let's be for real.
Yeah, he is, man. And I'm telling you, I'm going to pray on that, too, that somehow, some way, God opens his heart and open it up for forgiveness with you. Now, forgiveness with the Green Bay Packers. Maybe something different. It might be something different, Greg, you know, because, you've experienced it firsthand, you know, and some people are like that. Some people are like that, yeah. You know, and you think about what Aaron's going through, you know, sometimes he, you know, you use that pain, that fight as fuel, you know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. all of that. So he holds on to some of those fights and that pain. How do you see the Packers having a chance to make this right? If you, like we were just talking about with Aaron Rodgers and how he is once that thing is fractured, once that relationship is fractured.
Well, a couple ways. Obviously some of the reports out there about execs and general manager Gutekunst specifically being gone and fired and all of that. You can handle it that way. If you really want to show Aaron Rodgers, like, okay, we're all in on you. But we all know the National Football League doesn't work that way. They are not going to allow a player, regardless of who you are, to start to dictate how we operate ups from upstairs. And so I think, yeah, exactly. So I think that's out. They definitely need to really consider his ask. Whatever his ask is, it's like, unless it's just completely going to derail you from what you are trying to accomplish, which are winning Super Bowls in the now, the Packers aren't about waiting to win Super Bowls. They're about sustained success. When you talk about story franchises, they want to win now, they want to win later, they want to win all the time. And so Aaron Rodgers provides you with that opportunity, the best opportunity. You got to listen. You have to sit down. It's like, no, it's no different than any type of relationship, specifically marriage. If my wife is telling me what she wants every single day, that I want lilies and I keep bringing her orchids, like at some point she gonna be like, are you not listening to me? Yes, I appreciate these flowers, but this
do
is
I
not what
matter
I'm,
do I not matter for you to
yes I'm telling you I want lilies, but you keep bringing me anything and everything other than what I truly desire. The thought is great, cool, I understand where you're going, where your mind is, but it's still not what I'm asking for. And eventually that's going to come to a head, and that's what has happened with the Green Bay Packers. So until they address exactly his asks, and they just got to eat it. And I think that's when the relationship can start to come to some type of mend, amend. So until then, we'll see.
And what's interesting to me is that we keep, and we all have jumped in and jumped on it, and saying the Packers aren't drafting and helping Aaron Rodgers. Packers been in the NFC Championship. They've kind of parked a car at the NFC Championship game over the last few years. So it's not like they don't have talent in the guys, and they're doing a horrific job. It's not like they're doing a horrific job, because they have a talent, a player or two here or there. They could easily have been in the Super Bowl. So I'm trying to get, like, what is the big ask? That you give them the money, whatever. That honestly, that's not an argument. You got to give them money. That's not what it is. And money's involved. I don't know why we get to the point where we don't want to mention that part, right? Because money is involved. So you give them the money. But what else could he possibly be asking for that he needs to get to a Super Bowl that he hasn't been given?
Well, I think it's a couple things. And if we listen to what Aaron Rodgers has said in the past and what he's even speaking to now, he wants to end his career a Green Bay Packer, period. He wants to be a Green Bay Packer. He does not want to go anywhere or elsewhere. Now, if he has to, he will. And I think that's the hand that he's shown now. And I don't think any of us thought that it would look like this and he would do this, but it needed to be done. And so when you talk about what's the big ask, it's, I want to know that I'm your guy. And when, and just that coming out of my mouth, it's like, what in the world are you thinking to make him feel like he's not your guy? Why would you do what you've done? And I'm not saying that the Packers were wrong for drafting a quarterback, right. But how they went about it wasn't the best way, especially when you now see, like, man, maybe we made the wrong decision. Maybe this guy is not even our guy. When Aaron came in, Aaron fell into their lap. Aaron fell into their lap when Brett Favre was at quarterback. So they didn't move up to go get Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers was sitting there in the green room like, hey, man, who's going to take me? And the Green Bay Packers like, oh, we'll take you. And then he sat, he waited. He got nurtured by one of the all-time greats, and he had an accelerated career because of it. Now he's still playing at an all-time great level, and you're saying, you know what, we're gonna potentially move on sooner rather than later. And because of all the media and because of how great he is, and this is where we got to be careful, because how historically great Aaron Rodgers has been, the moment he has a dip in his season, we immediately start to get out the microscopes and, like, oh my good magnifying glass, and start to dissect every single drop off. And it's like, oh, the cliff is coming now. And he proved to us this past season, as did Tom Brady, like, look, I'm going to push that off as long as I can. And it's more than just the physical attributes. It's the mind as well. And so for Aaron, I think it's more getting and knowing that I'm going to be your guy. And with the Jordan Love move of a couple years ago, moving up and how they went about that, that told him he's a smart individual. We all know when the writing is on the wall. We all know when writing is on the wall. Let's not act like we don't. He does. And he knew then, okay, this is the game you guys are playing. I'm fine with that. He can sit. He can be here. But am I your guy? Let me know. Period.
Yeah. And since I don't trust you now, yeah, I got to force hands now.
Exactly. Force hands. There you go.
I'm forcing the hand. And something you said, though, that I got to jump back on, because you said, and just like they are expecting me when anything that goes on with the Cowboys to know about it because of the relationships and the connectivity I have with the Cowboys. The same is true with you and the Packers. You said just then that, talking about Jordan Love, especially now you see that he may not be what you thought he was. What did you mean by that?
So if Jordan Love was at any point ready to take over and run with this team, they would allow Aaron, they would grant the trade, they would get as much as they can for him right now, because this is the time that they can get the max for him coming off an MVP season. If Jordan Love was truly ready to take on the reins and take them over, he's clearly not. Because you're saying, okay, wait a minute, our window of opportunity only is the window that we have with the person that's not here right now, currently in the building. And so you're showing him, as well as telling all of us, yeah, Jordan Love, he's not ready yet. He's definitely not ready. And I'm not, that's no knock on Jordan Love. It's just, you got to eat that. You got a guy that everybody was shocked that you went and how you went about it and got him in the draft and moved up. And now you got the best quarterback in the National Football League and the MVP of our league on the outs because of a guy that you're uncertain of. It makes zero sense. It makes zero sense. And so that's what I mean. Like, they're clearly showing us and telling us that Jordan Love isn't ready. And when you think about what Matt LaFleur has said, he's like, Aaron Rodgers provides me the opportunity and the ability to do any and everything. Like, it's unlimited with him. And as a play caller, as a head coach, as a play caller, you go from that to, okay, now we gotta start tweaking things. We gotta really
side of the field. Only
yeah, this, like
only, oh yeah, you do this a lot.
You go from being able to be unlimited to restricted. Like, that is, Jordan Love is not ready. Matt LaFleur would, and he would be, he's smart to go all in on Aaron Rodgers. Yes, because he makes me look good. I try to make him look better. I want to support what he provides, and he definitely can actually execute and facilitate my plan, what I desire for us to look like offensively. So, yes, I want that guy in here. You guys better get it right.
And watching this whole thing is going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I want to ask you about these wide receivers, but before I get to that, I want to ask this. What do you think? Give me the percentage of Aaron Rodgers playing for the Green Bay Packers this year. What percentage would you put that Aaron Rodgers will put on that uniform for the Packers this year?
I'm going to go with this. It's an 85% chance. I think there's a really, really high chance. I don't think he wants to leave. I think he will if they're going to trade him to a team that he would be able to have success with. I don't think that they would do that because that would be them pretty much starting over. And that's not what the Green Bay Packers want to do. And so then they're not ready. They're all about developing players. And so when you think about the way they go about developing players, well, they typically have time to develop those players because of the players that are in front of the players that they are currently developing. If Aaron Rodgers goes, you got to get somebody to come in right now and that can run that offense, that can still continue to give you that time that you were planning to have to develop the investment that you made in Jordan Love.
Yeah, and then maybe you won't be that great of a team drafting and everything also. Maybe Aaron Rodgers has made all of that stuff look good. And without him, that falls apart, to be honest with you, on that. Now, it's interesting because you said 85%. You know, that's just something about wide receiver. Because you'd ask me that question, I'd probably say it's about 88% chance. You know what I'm saying? It's just something we do. Like, you know, if I got your phone, Greg, and I played around with your codes, somewhere 85 is in every code. Somewhere it's in every code you have. Somewhere just, I just know it.
It's just in us.
I don't know why. why we like that is so funny, man. Harp, I was telling you about Harp earlier. Harp's wife told me one time she was mad at him. She said, I went his phone. You know his code is 8080. His number was 80. I said, Harp, you kid, you did not make your code 8080. She gonna figure that out, you know. But that's how crazy we are as wide receivers.
Yes.
We're crazy like that, man. But speaking of crazy wide receivers, and certainly these guys aren't crazy, but let's talk about what you see going on around here with in the league, like Julio Jones. Your thoughts on what's going on in Atlanta, where you think Julio Jones is physically, and where you think he should end up?
So I would love to see Julio Jones stay in Atlanta. I don't think that's going to happen now with obviously what he said and how he conversed with Shannon Sharp on Undisputed on live television. I don't think that's going to happen. There's no chance he's back in Atlanta. And it's unfortunate because someone who was always a bright spot, always did it the right way. When we think about Julio Jones, we don't think about a diva. We just think about his level of play was next level. And he made everyone around him better, including his quarterback. And for me, selfishly, I wanted to see Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley,
oh,
Kyle Pitts,
oh,
Hayden Hurst, Russell Gage. I want to see it. I wanted to see how this offense was going to look with that 11, with that 8. And that 18, oh, man, I just wanted to see how it was going to look, and I don't think we're going to have the opportunity to experience that.
No, that would have been, oh, I just think Julio is the most physically gifted wide receiver we have ever seen, you know, big, fast, strong, and cut, get in. It's insane to talk about it. I think he could still play. What do you think would be a great spot, landing spot for Julio?
A good landing spot for me, you know, I don't know if this is a good landing spot, but it will be interesting. It will be intriguing. When DeAndre Hopkins started putting off all these posts, and he showed the image of himself, Julio, and AJ Green at the Pro Bowl, it reminded me of the Chris Bosh, the Dwayne Wade, the LeBron James photos and image that we saw, and all the conversations we found out afterwards that they had been having on all-star breaks when they were on all-star teams together, on the USA Olympic teams. It makes sense. Guys want to win. He's with a young quarterback that has an arm that can provide them with the success and to make every throw. Defensively, the Arizona Cardinals are going to be – they're going to be stout. They're going to be a good defensive team when they get all healthy and they added J.J. Watt. I think that would be a good and interesting spot. You're losing Larry Fitzgerald. You're still going to be up there in age. But from a business standpoint, you look at the Chargers and it's hard not to say that's a great fit. The money is there. You got Keenan Allen on the other side. You got a young and up-and-coming – gunslinger that can just give it to you how you want it, and Justin Herbert, a team that we know they're gonna make a little bit of noise this year.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about the Chargers. Oh my God, that's too. I was thinking San Francisco. You know, San Francisco. I'll reunite him with Kyle Shanahan, and that, you know, they'll take off over there. But the Chargers, I didn't think about the Chargers. That would be, and I don't know why Chargers wouldn't make that play, because they got to fight through. Yeah, that's a great one. That's a great one, dog. I'm going to have to put that one of note, see. I don't know, for some reason, and Justin Herbert's a great young quarterback. I love that kid. That's a good one, man. And speaking of young quarterbacks and wide receivers, I want to bounce over before I let you go and pull out what's going on with Cleveland, the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns made it deep into the playoffs this year, but there's been noise bouncing around. Maybe they could do it without Odell Beckham. Where do you stand on Cleveland in their need of an Odell Beckham Jr.? Do they need Odell Beckham Jr.?
I'm always torn with this because I'm going to say this. I'm going to preface it like this first. We're receivers. And so we always feel like what we provide, everybody needs that.
Yeah.
I just feel for this situation, it hurts Baker Mayfield because I don't think he's able to really, or he's not in the, maybe last year would have helped. Maybe last year not having him help and experiencing how he didn't have to try to force the ball to him. But I felt like there was this overwhelming weight for your young quarterback to make sure that this electric receiver got an opportunity to be all that we know we've seen him be and more. And that just hasn't happened. And we saw them struggle offensively because of it. We saw the rest of the guys struggle because of it. I'm not sure they absolutely need him as far as the success of the team, but he definitely adds value. There's no doubt he adds value. That's like saying, okay, right. Michael Irvin gets hurt and Alvin Sharper is doing his thing and you guys have some other guys. But then all of a sudden, you forget how good Mike is. You forget that he's a playmaker. You forget he is playmaker. Like, no. He adds value. What, man? You better make this work. And that's what I feel like, you know, with Kevin Stefanski, it's on them. It's on offensive coordinator to then find and figure out a way to make that work. Because he is too great of a player to allow to just walk. Now, if you depending on what you can get for him, I get that. I'm not a general manager. I'm not going to try to play that role. But you got to find a way to make that work.
That's interesting because, you know, you think about it from that perspective. And you're right. Young quarterback comes in. If I had a young quarterback, and I've had years in the league, and I've done some, you know, you can kind of control that young quarterback. Hey, just throw the ball. Don't worry. Just throw it. Double team. Throw the ball anyway. Don't worry about it. You kind of control that dude, you know, because he thinks he needs you for success. So maybe that success that Baker had last year should give him the confidence. But you don't think that should also, or do you believe in any way that will have any effect on Odell? Odell's sitting here saying, oh, okay, so maybe I can't demand as much because or be so demanding because they've had success without me. Do you not believe like Baker picks up that Odell would even have that thought?
It's hard. Once you see you've never had to do this. You've always been that guy. But when you got to put yourself in Odell's shoes. He's in New York.
Right.
He becomes this.
You're right, Greg. I never had to do this, Greg. That's a great point you brought. I never had to do this. I've only been to one team, and you know right now. Go on into this for me. I know where you're going. Go on into this for me.
So he was the guy. He was the star. He was the face of the team. He was the New York Giants. And so then you go to a team in Cleveland and you're coming off an injury of a couple years of back-to-back injuries, not finishing the season, whatever the case may be. The expectation and the standard is already there. You've already set the bar. So you're not going to lower your standards and expectation. His expectations and his standards were, I'm that dude. You need to get me the ball. That's the way we did it in New York. That's the way it should be done here. Y'all haven't had any types of success. So you're bringing me here to provide some added success that you as a Cleveland Brown organization at that point had never experienced. And so you can't wash away those memories. Players, when you still got those cleats on, you still think you're that guy. You still believe you're that guy. And so I think the only way that this kind of works is if Odell is able to say, you know what, I know I'm that guy, but if I want to stay here and be a part of something that I believe can be special in Cleveland, then I have to take a step back. I have to become more of a, and this sounds, nobody likes this, nobody, a role guy, a guy that has a role in his offense to take the top off, to make the big plays when they need it and when they present themselves, but not a guy that is just a workhorse to where I'm expecting to get 10, 11 catches a game 13, 14 targets a game. That's not going to happen. You might have a game or two that happens like that, and that's tailored to you. But with Odell Beckham on the football field, he's going to garner the attention of everyone on the defensive side. And so with that, he just provides openings and opportunities for everybody else. He has to become okay with that and pick and choose when he has his moments of those playmaker type games that you used to always provide us with.
Yeah, and also, but I also believe if Cleveland wants to challenge teams like Kansas City Chiefs,
no doubt,
gotta have a role, somebody that can get up that field fast and make explosive plays. They just need some explosive plays. They got the run game. You're going to need some explosive plays. So if you don't get them from Odell, you better get them somewhere, or you're going to be watching Patrick Mahomes win the playoffs. That's what you're going to be doing. Greg, I appreciate you taking the time chopping it up, my brother. I know
absolutely,
I asked for 15, 20 minutes and I could sit here and talk to you all day, man.
Man, I knew who I was talking to. I knew it was going to be no 15, 20 minutes.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. But you, when I said it, I was like, oh, okay. I'm just glad you could dig it.
It's all good.
Keep doing what you're doing, man, and keep looking the part, man. You know what I mean? Keep looking like you looking, dog. Yo, I see your cuts all on there. You want to hear it, Greg. Like, I hear people, they say it all the time to me, right? They say, Mike, man, you look like you still can play all that shit.
Yeah,
I want to hear him say that, but this junk ain't functional. This can't function at that level. This is just good look. This is not functional out there. Right?
I just want it for looks now. I want no parts of actually you hitting me and me figuring out or thinking that I can actually do what I used to do years ago. Don't need that.
Don't need it, buddy. Hey, keep doing what you're doing, man. Appreciate you taking the time on the MIP, buddy.
Absolutely.
Thanks, G.
Thanks for downloading the MIP. Check out new episodes of the Michael Irvin Podcast every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com. Today. That's GEICO.com.